You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby, where you can engage with us via our website at cjsf.ca or on our social media, which is CJSF Radio on TikTok and Blue Sky, or CJSF Music and CJSF Talk on Instagram.
Talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to campus and community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam nations. I'm your host, Nicole Hines, and I hope you are doing well this morning. The sun is shining. It is dry today, although I don't mind the rain at all. But today it is nice and dry, and I'm quite liking it. It was very, very comfortable. Now, the weather has been feeling very fallish over the past few days, and since it's feeling like fall, it gets me thinking about autumn. And I just want to remind everyone that the 2026 general local election is happening this fall on Saturday, October 17th. And if you're planning to vote in this election, now is the perfect time to make sure that you are registered and ready, especially if you've recently moved, changed your name, or are unsure if your registration is up to date. I personally updated my new address details online at the Elections BC website recently, so my registration details are officially up to date. I am ready to vote. But if phone is more your thing, you can totally update your info by calling 1-800-661-8683. And now today on this show, I'll be sharing an interview throughout the show by SFU volunteer journalist Zarina. And she chatted with Morag Burke, who's the co-founder of a company called TRIA. And TRIA is a woman-owned company that creates and delivers visually powerful and cost-effective event branding and management solutions from start to finish. But before we listen to their conversation, I just wanted to give you a quick update on the BC nurses strike, because I did chat about that a few weeks past. For more than 3 weeks, nurses have participated in unprecedented job action across the province, including rotating picket lines at hospitals in the Lower Mainland, as well as in Vancouver Island. And also, there was a province-wide refusal of non-nursing duties and restrictions on overtime. So I visited the BC Nurses Union website for an update yesterday, and I learned that the BC Nurses Union, as well as the Nurses Bargaining Association, ended all province-wide job action effective July 24th at midnight after they accepted recommendations from special mediators Amanda Rogers and Vince Reddy. The issues addressed were workplace violence, non-nursing duties, and previous tentative agreement concerns. The recommendations are now with members for their review over the coming days. While that process is underway, BCNU will not be providing further public comment on the substance of the recommendations. And speaking of strikes, as someone who likes to travel and I am always planning my next getaway, WestJet flight attendants could walk off the job as early as this Sunday, August 2nd. The key issues driving the dispute are unpaid pay for work performed while aircraft are on the ground, as well as overall compensation in general. According to the union, flight attendants work on average 35 unpaid hours every month under the outdated system that determines how work is compensated. The flight attendants union announced on July 15th that its members voted 99.4% in favor of a strike. However, the union is required, I believe, to give like 72 hours notice of a strike if they're actually going to be doing it, which means that if a strike is actually going to be planned for this Sunday, then the union would have to officially announce that no later than today. WestJet has updated their website to offer guests traveling between the dates of July 30th and August 4th, the flexibility to adjust their travel plans, including a one-time change or cancellation with no fee. If you have a WestJet flight booked in the coming days or weeks, I encourage you to stay updated by visiting their website regularly at WestJet.com. Now, let's get into our interview for today's show.
Hello, you are listening to CJSF 90.1. This is your host, Zarina, and this is Intravenous, the feminist talk show that looks at all things femme. Today, we are here with Morag Burke, the director of TRIA, a 100% female-owned company that has spent the last 20 years doing the branding and wayfinding for some of the biggest events in the world. The London Olympics, the Commonwealth Games, Expo 2020 in Dubai, and right now, just wrapping up, Vancouver's FIFA Fan Fest, rated number one host city of all the 16 in this World Cup. Morag, thank you so much for being here. I'd love to know how you're feeling after all of this has been wrapped up.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yes, oh my goodness, what a great journey. I am feeling mainly sad because there's so many people that suddenly disappear, but at the same time, a little bit relieved to have time back.
It must be great to feel, I guess, the energy from the city after all of this success. What has been your number one takeaway from this event specifically?
For me, it was the fans, you know, the walking of the last mile, all the different countries, the fan walks, and then fan festival every day. There was like a sea change of color as different teams came through. Just the excitement, the passion, the people, the families. It just made it all worthwhile, and I enjoyed every second of it.
That's great. It must be nice to be involved in such a big, big production. I'm curious if you'd like to explain to our speaker, audience as well, what is wayfinding and event branding, and like what does it involve for before the event begins, and what are you doing that most people walking through a stadium or fan zone may never even notice?
Yeah, so we're very specifically involved in dressing and signage, or it's also called look and wayfinding. And there's two basic components to it, the dressing and the kind of the more the branding side. It's very event time specific. So you'll know you're at the Vancouver Olympics versus Beijing Olympics or whatever the case may be by that dressing and that look and feel. So we do it for cities, or we do it for stadiums across the board. And then the wayfinding is actually more the directional signage. So it's how do you get all these different constituent groups, if you like, to the right place at the right time. So it could be the athletes, it could be media and broadcast, it could be fans, whoever it is, you've got to understand their exact journey that they'll take from the time they arrive in a host city, so from the airport, all the way to them finding their specific seat number in a stadium or a venue. So that is very, very, it's much more technical. So we like to think the branding is the pretty stuff, the feel-good look stuff, and then the wayfinding is the technical stuff. But they do work together. So wayfinding gets you there, and then dressing kind of supports it in the fact that, okay, yes, you have arrived at a particular venue or place that you need to be. So that's what we do, and it's very event time specific. So it's for that event. It's what you see on TV. So we have to understand where cameras are, where media are, what are they filming within a stadium, what are the athletes. It includes sports equipment. So what branding's on the ball to the athletes, you know, vest that they're wearing and their number. So it really covers everything from end to end. And then we've just recently done it here for the city of Vancouver as a host city, dressing and signage, the FIFA Fan Festival, which was out at the P&E, which was an amazing fun event. And we also did the city of Toronto as well. So, and you could see even those places all had a slightly different look and feel, but actually the wayfinding in all those three places was exactly the same.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
How do you work in replicating the wayfinding for such different cities?
Yeah, so normally we would either design it from scratch. FIFA had very specific wayfinding initial design elements. So it was always purple. So it didn't matter which city you were attending a FIFA match, whether it was Mexico, the US, or Canada, the wayfinding was always going to be the same. So if people were moving from city to city, there was this intuitive direction that you were following based on the wayfinding, which was purple. So that was, you have some basic premises, languages, terminology. So that's all the same. So we did have a base for that from FIFA, but normally we would have to create that as well from scratch, depending on what the event is. So using pictograms, words, terminology, making sure it's always the same, but really going through every single different group's journey and making sure they know what's their next step, from point A to B. So it's a lot of work and it's a lot of fun though.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun too, to be able to work with so many different people from just so many different walks of life as well. Like you're the one kind of bringing together, the feasibility of a big event like this. Did you find that your experience in the past with all the different events that you've held or been a part of has led you to being exceptionally well at this specific event too?
Yeah, I mean, back literally 20 years ago, we were seeking to set up a business. I had done business consulting in different countries, and my other two partners at that time had also, we all arrived in Australia at the same time, and we were looking to set up a company, three working moms that we were.
Wow.
And Karen, my other partner, had worked on the Sydney Olympics, Athens Olympics, and so we all kind of came back to Australia at the same time, having lived in different countries, and set up TRIA to do World Youth Day, which was and we literally set up the company overnight. But
wow.
we had this real niche where we had the creative side, so we had the design side, and we knew how to technically deliver dressing and signage. Mm-hmm. So we created a company that normally you would have a design agency that maybe didn't understand delivery and production, or you would have a production company that didn't really understand design. So we came in this niche in the middle where we brought together, we created our own systems and processes to actually bring design through down to actually scoping, and then now later it's production and installation kind of management as well. So we found this little niche that no one was really working on, and so that allowed us then to bid for different things and win them. And it didn't matter if it was a FIFA or something like World Youth Day or the Olympics. And we have to compete on an international stage against international companies. But and I think that's where it came sort of all together for us, was to find a niche market and then hopefully be the best at it and provide a good
service. Yeah, that's the most important thing too. And it must be nice, you said you were three working moms and creating, the legacy for yourself and also your family, and just knowing that, you're able to create in some ways an impact wherever you go, like doing the work and making it really memorable for everybody. So I'm curious on how did you guys decide, you said overnight it became a thing, TRIA itself. How did you decide for that to be the next step? And how did you keep that momentum going as a 100% owned woman business?
Yeah, so we were approached to actually assist with World Youth Day, which is one of the largest events that probably is bigger than FIFA, just in terms of eyeballs on it.
Of course.
And it was happening in Sydney.
Yeah.
So that was 2007.
Wow, nice.
And and I had sort of the business corporate background. Our other partner had a design background. She had been a designer at Marks and Spencer's in London, and she was a graphic designer. And then Karen had this experience with in dressing and signage with the Olympics, and so she had been in the organizing committee, so she understood it from that aspect. And we realized that actually, if you systemized it better. Mm-hmm. You could actually deliver better. Mm-hmm. And so we were approached, and literally the three of us, and we were looking at what kind of businesses to set up. We had kind of different skills, mm-hmm. and it could be anything from we were going to design baby clothes to running restaurants. I don't know, but
the ideas were there, right?
We knew that we wanted to do something together.
Oh, that's awesome.
And using this collection of skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were approached to put together a proposal to mm-hmm. To deliver the dressing and signage for World Youth Day.
Wow.
And so we had to come up with a company overnight. And Corin's husband is Greek. So he was like, well, there's three of you, Tria, you're kind of doing three things,
yeah.
you know, the business side.
Cause I was
that's
thinking
my
also
background.
Like a triage, you know, like when you're trying to solve
sometimes
something.
It feels like a triage, yeah. I have to say.
Yeah, trying to solve like something, and you know, you have to be in some ways looking at the most pressing issues first, right? And seemingly those are the three things that you guys were focusing on.
And you never know what's going to come up. There mm-hmm. is luckily with this current World Cup and Toronto and Vancouver, there really were very, very few really bad surprises or where you yeah. just had to pivot. So, you know, and it's very usual for an event mm-hmm. that there is something that you need to change and triage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every day it's a little bit like triage. It's like, what do I need to be doing next mm-hmm. To make sure everything gets delivered? So, yes, so Tria was three, but triage is appropriate as well. And so we took that name. Our designer, Janine, quickly made up a logo that night, and then wow. and we were off and running. And so since then, mm-hmm. We've worked on major events, and I think as three working moms, so we've never had an office.
Wow.
Never stopped us getting these major international contracts,
mm-hmm.
And it also allowed us to be at a school event if we needed to be.
Yeah.
And I think one important thing that we did, and we were well prepared for COVID. One, because we've never had an office; we've always worked from home. But
ahead
also,
of the game.
Yeah, I think the other thing we did was we valued all our time equally,
mm-hmm.
and what that has allowed us to do was I could babysit someone's child while someone went to a meeting to win a bid or to present something at a high level. So it didn't matter what you were doing, your time was valued equally in order to deliver that. So that then freed up, we just had a sense of, okay, what would need to work.
Mm-hmm.
And even now with, Tria for this project, and this is specifically Tria,
mm-hmm.
we're all female.
Wow, amazing.
All our great consultants that were working on it. We're female, bar one, who is fantastic too.
Mm.
But, those ratios.
Yeah.
And they are largely
they're the best in the field.
They're best in the field. They're working moms. We give mm-hmm. them the flexibility. We know the job gets done. It gets done really well.
There's a trust, and it takes a village to do anything, right?
And they might be out there at 4 a.m.
mm-hmm.
But then the next day they might be taking, their child to the hospital or whatever the case may be. Like, there is always, in personal lives as well as work, mm-hmm. there's always things that are going wrong, and I think that's the joy of, I don't know if it's because it's a female run organization, but
it's empathy, right? It's knowing that your job is a professional, and your job is your family, that they're equal in value, and you can only be successful in one if you have the other, to be honest, right? Like,
yeah, and we were definitely family first. If there was a crisis, it took priority forever,
totally.
And everyone else then would step up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's definitely the real joy, is that everybody, when they can, they just literally work. Never question their
commitment, right?
Their capability,
and drive, and also
their willingness. I don't I might be putting a nail in something you might be talking to the president of a country who wants something that they're demanding, so and it really didn't matter, and
mm-hmm.
I think to us, that's what made it successful.
Totally.
And we'll continue to be that and the way people need it to work.
And it's important to have an ethos, right, within your company, knowing that, you know, everyone is on the same page and you have the shared values, and that's what makes work as exciting as it can be too, right? Like, you don't want to go into work, you know, not aware or able to know about your coworkers' personal life too, right? Like, that kind of separation between the professional and personal, I think, sometimes gets in the way of actually driving your company forward and being the ones that make the extravagant bids, you know, and like doing the extra work because the care is there. You all trying to help each other, right?
Yeah,
and I think
definitely.
that's a very feminist perspective to have.
And it's also a no drama. Like,
totally.
Yes, things can go wrong, but you solve that problem. But mm-hmm. No one's bringing drama into the workplace. Mm-hmm. There's never any of that. It's just like, okay, we're here. We'll work hard when we need to. We can be focused, and then we take time off. So I think for us that, I don't know if we've just been inherently lucky, mm-hmm. But we attract people
totally.
That operate like that.
Totally.
And, you know, they may never have done an event before, but it doesn't matter. Like, if mm-hmm. you can see how someone functions and operates, a little bit like you, to be honest.
Oh,
then you,
you
know that they can go in and get things done. So,
yeah. It's so important. Funny enough, for all the listeners here, the reason that Morag is here is because I was I live by the FIFA Fan Fest, and I was just on a walk and I saw some people. It's a very common thing for people to take pictures by the beautiful wayfinding, and so I offered to take a photo of Morag and her colleagues from Scotland, actually, and, you know, got to meet her through there and just took that opportunity to connect with somebody human, right, and have that empathy to know that, you know, sometimes you all want to be in a photo, you know, you don't want to have one person that's left out of the photo. So that's where I stepped in, and I was very surprised to see that this is the creator of such an incredible I guess movement. It's really hard to get people to move in a certain way, especially in a city as I guess stuffy as Vancouver is known to be. So it was really cool to be able to have her now in the studio and sharing all this wisdom for all of you. So
the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
The Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline is now live to help victims and survivors get vital social and emergency services. If you need help or want to help stop human trafficking, call 1-833-900-1010.
Welcome back to Intravenous. You've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories. And now we are going to take a listen to part two of Zarina's interview with Morag Burke. And just give me one moment. I'm going to play a quick track here while I get part two of the conversation up. This is Sweet Garden with Witch. This is Witch Project. Sorry, with Sweet Garden.
Welcome to my garden. With your chest, whatever touches your heart, feed, fuel, fight for it, flower, heal, hold, help, have, honor it, whatever touches your heart,
whatever,
promise, hope, hell, and high water, wade with it, shield, protect, keep it sacred. Whatever. Whatever. Ever what?
With your chest.
Whatever touches your heart. A future inevitable is hurt. Let it wind through you.
Let it wind through you.
Be fiercely undone. Brave and bellowing. Elbow, ankle, shoulder your way. Will it is so. Whatever. Whatever it may be, whatever it may be that fires the engine of your chest, sprawls open your thoughts of you, unminded and moved, let it be, let it be, let it silly shame and show you out. Remember when before memory made you in the nameless nothing of now? Let light lead you into the darling darkness of not knowing, yet to know what it is to feel alive, living, whatever, whatever it may be that touches your...
are back, and we are going to now officially get into part two of Zarina's conversation with Morag Burke.
That are just tuning in now, this is Morag Burke, the one of the founders of TRIA, a branding and wayfinding company that is just wrapping up their FIFA Vancouver and Toronto wayfinding and branding signage program. So they're in the middle of the takedown right now. So she's very, very, I think, running off the steam and the motivation of such a great event. And yeah, I think my next question would definitely be about, you know, how do you as a woman in this very male-dominated field feel about, you know, being a feminist? Like, what does it mean for you to be a feminist on this, as we are on the intravenous segment of this beautiful radio show? So
yeah, you know, I mean I grew up in South Africa, so mm-hmm. and I think I was a bit of feminist then, was like mm-hmm. you know, I certainly didn't want to be, for me, I didn't want to be knitting baby jumpers,